Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
7/14, Memorial Day 2020, Monday, May 25th. A 40% chance for downpours today, and I was outside during the news and looked to the northwest-ish, and it would appear to be some dark clouds, so I don't know if there's some rain forming already, but we'll let you know everything you need to know here at WWL all day long. We are into our summertime routine, so that means hot and humid. I'll give you the chances for rain tomorrow: 60%, 70 Wednesday, 70 Thursday, 40 Friday and Saturday, and then 30 on Sunday with highs of 90. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us, our friend, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Morning, Dr. Fred. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy.
I saw something over the weekend on, I think it was one of the Sunday morning shows. It was Dr. Birx, and it was Fox, yes, because Chris Wallace was asking her about the death projections, I guess, if that would be the way to phrase it, but how back in April they were saying 60,000, and then both in late April, both the president and she, a week apart, now we're up to almost 100, and then they're saying in terms of modeling, we could be looking at 150 by August. Now, I don't know if that takes the second wave into account, but even if it doesn't go to 150, let's drop it to 120. That's still twice as many as they said the projections were showing in late April. So I guess why the disconnect or why the difference, Doctor?
Well, I think it's these have been hard to predict. As you know, early on, the projections were much higher. Up to 2.4 million Americans were projected to potentially pass away if nothing was taken to slow the spread of the virus. Then we saw some models that downgraded those projections to 60 to 80,000. And now as we've reopened the United States, we're seeing now projections that show something in excess of 130 to 135,000 by August. So I think what we're seeing is a change in the models based on the change in behaviors and interventions that are being put in place. Again, these are just models. They're modeled after other countries as well as what we're discovering in our own country. And they're definitely, though, higher than they were several weeks ago when we were talking about 60 to 80,000 on the low end. It does seem that they're all predicting higher predicted deaths. In fact, we're already right at around 100,000 deaths from this COVID-19 pandemic in the United States alone. So we just need to continue to monitor them. I think still the key recommendations are to continue to do what we've been doing with terms of social and physical distancing and mask wearing when you leave your home in order to minimize infections. The less infections we have, the less hospitalizations and the less deaths we're going to see.
I presume you've seen some video over the weekend, either on the internet or on television, of the beaches and so forth. What are you saying to yourself when you see that? What are you thinking?
Well, some of the ones I've seen must be some of the same ones you've seen, which show people not practicing physical distancing, not wearing masks, and clearly that's going to increase the risk for transmission of the virus. You know, we just spoke a couple of days ago that the CDC now estimates that about a third of coronavirus infections are asymptomatic. So many of those people who think they're very healthy may be infected and could be transmitting the virus. In fact, the CDC said in the same vein that about 40% of coronavirus transmission is occurring before people even feel sick, those who are going to become sick, in other words. So we need to be cognizant of these statistics that are showing us that a lot of people out there don't know they're infected, maybe are pre-symptomatic, but are capable of transmitting the infection. And if you're not practicing physical distancing and or wearing masks when you're in public within 6 feet of others, the risk for this transmission is going to increase, and we're going to see increases in the number of cases. Again, what we're seeing today in terms of the data is from 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. What happened this weekend, we're not going to know what the effects of that is going to be for several more weeks in the same way. And so that everybody continue to do what has been recommended. Otherwise, we are going to see a spike in the number of cases.
After Katrina on Monday afternoon, I guess the 29th, maybe the 30th, I lost track of the dates here. I don't have the calendar in front of me, but I was walking downtown on Poydras Street, where we used to be right by the Dome, with a colleague, and he was saying he had come from uptown and that people were barbecuing and having fun and they had no idea what was about to hit them. And surely enough, it did in terms of the flood waters. And I just wonder if I thought about you over the weekend looking at this video, if you were not shaking your head and saying to yourself, they have no idea, they don't know what they're fooling with here.
Well, you know, again, I think we all know to a certain degree what we're fooling with, which is those numbers that we saw, 6, 7 weeks ago, where we were worried about the hospitals not being able to have capacity for hospitalizing patients, much less ventilating those who were suffering from the severe consequences of COVID-19. I think if we aren't careful, we're going to see a surge in the number of cases, which is inevitable once we relax these interventions, because the virus cannot survive if unless there's humans around. And where there are humans, the virus will find them and infect them, and we're going to see an increase in the number of cases.
I will take a break. When we come back, Louisiana enters phase one, or entered phase one about 10 days ago. When do you think we should look to see if there's a big increase in cases or not? And I guess the other question I had, I don't mean to be grim here, but the president said he's not shutting the country down again. You probably have a legal fight between governors and the president. Of course, the American people have their own freedom of will in terms of, well, do you feel safe enough to go out or don't you? They could, I guess, in essence, de facto shut the country down. I guess the question I'm asking is, if for whatever reason we have a second wave and people still don't resort to what it is they're supposed to do, would we, in essence, develop herd immunity, and at what cost? And if that happens, then does that mean the same people who were vulnerable back in March will eventually wind up getting it, and then it seems like everything we've done was for nothing? I know it's a lot of presumptions, and you don't deal with that, Doctor. You deal with science, but we'll try to sort through them when we come back here on WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Fred Lopez, as we usually do. At this time, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Doctor, let me get a question via the text line here. Should you get an antibody test if you believe you may have had a mild case shortly after Mardi Gras?
You can get it. The problem with the antibody tests is that they really haven't been validated. And as a result, it's really hard to know what to do with the results. Currently, the World Health Organization shows that there's no evidence showing immunity to COVID-19 after the infection. We do feel that they probably have some immunity for at least a short period of time, if not longer, but we just don't know how strong this immune response is and how long it will last. The testing that you're talking about, looking for antibodies, should really probably be limited to population-level seroprevalence studies. In other words, trying to figure out how much of the community has been infected. Maybe looking at recovered individuals for convalescent plasma donations is another area where I think those serology tests could be helpful. Or in part, a testing plan looking for how much the community has been infected again with this in order to inform reopening and possibly whether we're approaching higher and higher levels of immunity. You talked a little bit earlier about herd immunity. We know from current seroprevalence studies looking at what those serology tests tell us about how many people have developed antibody responses. We know that in some communities in California, we're talking about 4% of the communities been infected. In New York City, about 20%. So we know that if Louisiana is somewhere, or New Orleans is somewhere in between those two, we're still a far way from herd immunity, which typically takes 60 to 80% of the patient population to be immune before we start seeing its effects.
The reason I mention that, you know, some people that are against any type of containment measures talk about herd immunity. I don't know if there's any scientists that hope for that. They cite Sweden as an example, but in Sweden, they actually kind of took it upon themselves to self-contain as opposed to government mandated. But I guess the question is, Doctor, and I'll leave the politics out of it, and I know you hate to speculate because you deal with science, right? Unless there's some type of data that leads you to a conclusion. But this is it, as simply as I can put it. If the president, if governors, whatever, leave everybody out. Let's just say if the country, as human beings, were to say, you know what, that's it. Let's just see what happens. We're not going to social distance. We're not going to this. We're not going to that. Would the result be taking us back to pre-flatten the curve days where you would achieve herd immunity nationwide, but at the cost of a lot of lives? And among those lives that would be lost, would it even include those that were spared initially because we flattened the curve and tried to contain this?
Yeah, I think if we just completely stopped all the interventions we've been doing, we would definitely take several steps back. Again, because so much of the population is still not immune, we know this is a very contagious virus. We know it transmits very effectively in the community. And yes, we would find ourselves likely back where we were a couple of months ago, very worried about whether we could handle the number of patients needed to be hospitalized and or ventilated. Herd immunity probably will be obtained with vaccine. When that comes, hopefully end of this year, or early next year. I think that's the hope.
Thank you, Doctor. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I appreciate your time. I really do. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Have a good day. Thank you, Dr. Fred Lopez. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk to Colonel Pete Crean, Vice President for Education Access for the National World War II Museum on this Memorial Day. Time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.